HarperCollins presents The Light at the End of the Day by Eleanor Wasserberg. Read by Katie Sobey. There is a gold light in certain old paintings that represents a diffusion of sunlight. It is like happiness when we are happy. It comes from everywhere and from nowhere at once, this light. The world is very dusty, Uncle. Let us work. One day the sickness shall pass from the earth for good. The orchard will bloom. Someone will play the guitar. Our work will be seen as strong and clean and good. All that we suffered through having existed shall be forgotten as though it had never existed. There is a gold light in certain old paintings. Donald Justice. Krakow, 1939. Chapter 1. The Odefeld apartment was the last building on the Grand Ulitsa Bernadinska, its final corner jewel. One side looked out over the river, but it was the sight from the dining room the neighbours envied. A perfect view of Wawel Castle. The red brick walls of the Wawel jutted out into the street, as though reaching for their neighbour, and a turret sat exactly opposite the window of the main drawing room, as though they had been designed to mirror each other. Dining in that drawing room under the gaze of portrait faces in golden frames, many imagined they were at the Wawel itself, some state occasion, looking out over the terraces and turrets, the flesh of green lawn. Adam Odefeld liked to smoke his pipe on the apartment terrace with his artist friends and watch the sky darken over the green-tinged tower tops. On summer evenings, the family threw open the windows and invited neighbours and friends for parties in the shadow of the heart of Poland. Janina Kardas was navigating her way towards the Odefeld apartment in the strangely cheerful sunshine of early afternoon. She wore her best clothes, a fur hat and a heavy winter coat, beautifully tailored with a matching ermine trim. The coat and hat were too warm for early September in the city, but she wished to display herself today as a woman of obvious good breeding. She remembered snatches of German refugee tales, how people were stopped in the street. She imagined herself seized, accosted, jostled, until the attacker, in some kind of uniform, noticed her coat, her hat, and looked then into her delicately lined face. Not young or pretty enough to be in danger, she comforted herself, but somehow authoritative. He would step back, uneasy, for surely she knew people. Surely her husband was someone of importance. And Janina's imaginary self sneered a little, tugged her clothing back into place, patted her hat back onto its perch, and strode away. Janina passed the shuttered bakery. 2 weeks ago, the baker had been holding forth yet again, lectures that war was coming. It had been the same for weeks, pastries and doom, and she was irritated by it. The shelves and displays had all been empty that day, and upstairs, heavy footsteps had dragged heavier furniture.
"You're leaving?"
"It will happen soon," he'd said, chewing the thin lips on his lean face, so wrong for a baker, who really ought to be fat, adding,
"I'm going to Lvov. I'm not sticking around." "But my rolls and doughnuts," she had replied.
The baker had rolled his thin lips in and out, then leaned in so she could smell the ginger on his breath.
"You are crazy," he whispered. "You should get out of Krakow, you and all your set."
He nodded slowly as though passing on a secret code.
"What a lot of hysteria," she said.
She lowered her voice.
"I'm not some poor Jew.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?